Chris, I just started the recording, so anytime, you know.
Okay. I'll wait just another half minute or a little more for people to come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brenda?
Good.
Melanie Sheridan?
Oku Burrows?
Brenda?
Janice?
Good. Okay, well, I've got about 3 o'clock, and I know we have a lot of callers on the call, and I thank everybody for joining us. This call is sponsored by the National Federation of the Blind Senior Division. I am Ruth Sager, and I will be moderating this discussion, and it will be a discussion. And I am president of the National Federation of the Blind Senior Division, so I welcome you to this call and hope that you will be active or interested if your state does not have a senior division or group or committee to think about being one of the founding folks that would start such a group, because seniors, we are growing in number across the country, which is a good thing, but we do need to address issues that are of special concern to us. So this call is going to address issues of organization, of keeping track of our personal matters, and using aids and devices as well as different methods. And there are probably hundreds and hundreds of different ways of doing things. So you may have different ways than I do, which is fine. I'll talk a few minutes about some basic things, and then we'll be able to share different ideas and ask questions. I ask this of you. We're going to ask each of you, if you press *6, that puts you in a mute mode, which means you will be able to hear everything that's being spoken on the call, but we will not hear your background noise in your location. When you wish to speak and ask a question or comment, if you would then press *6, that puts you back into a mode where you are, the mute mode has concluded and you can speak. I ask that you say your name and then I can address your, so we don't have 4 or 5 people trying to talk at the same time. So if you would press *6 now, that puts you in a mute mode, and that means that we won't hear what's happening at your location. When you wish to speak, you press *6 once again. That releases you from the mute mode, and then I will be able to hear you when you state your name. Okay. We were asked to have this conversation, which is a really important one, and how do we stay organized? And that particularly means reading and keeping track of printed material, but it's in other ways as well. So I'm going to start with some other things first, and then we'll get to the maybe the printed material and ways to label and organize. Many people are aware, but some people are not, that in most stores you can ask for shopper assistance. And when you do that, okay, if you would press *6, that will put you in a mute mode, which means that you will be able to hear everything on the call, but we will not hear your background noise from your location. If you wish to speak, then press *6 again, and please say your name, and then I will be able to hear you, and you will be released from the mute mode, and then you'll be able to ask your question or make your comment. And then it would be helpful to go back into *6 after your question, so again, we keep the background noise as quiet as we possibly can. We do hear people washing dishes and other things, and it does become distracting. I hope people aren't going to be washing dishes when they're listening to the phone call, but if people do have activities they need to do, it would really be helpful not for everybody on the call to be distracted by the background noise. So the *6 will prevent that. And then, again, when you wish to speak, you do *6 again, and I'll be able to hear you. So that when you go to most stores, you can get shopper assistance, whether you're buying appliances or clothing or groceries. And the information that you might want to know is how you can know whether the store has that service. Most of them do. You can call the store and ask for it first if you like. If you're going grocery shopping, it is very helpful to have a written grocery list for your shopper assistant to be able to look at your list and look down the aisle to see whether you have items that need to be purchased in that aisle or if you can skip that aisle. So there are different ways of doing that. You really want to write so that the shopper assistant can read your writing. And most of you have done handwriting and can write. You may not be able to read what you write, but there is something called a writing template, and it costs only a few dollars, maybe $5 or $6. What it really is an 8.5 by 11 inch heavy cardboard or plastic, and it has lines cut out. You either paper clip it to a piece of paper, or you can use a clipboard and clip the paper on the under the bottom side and then put the grid on top, and you can write your grocery list or whatever else you might want to write. It's a full page, 8.5 by 11, and if you're writing a grocery list, something like that, and you can't read what you're writing, you could put a paper clip on the left-hand side of the margin, and as you write each line, move the paper clip down in case you stop. It helps you write straight across a line, so it prevents you from going up or down and writing on top of something that you've already written. If you write with a large 20/20 pen or a big marker, you may be able to read your handwriting, but that doesn't necessarily mean your assistant assisting you would be able to read your handwriting. So for your own personal list, you might want to continue to do that, write and use the same grid, actually, or use heavy-lined paper. Another method for keeping your own list might be to invest in a small digital recorder. They really can be purchased for maybe around $35, something like that. And that way you have an audible way to retrieve information. So you could use it. You could use it as a calendar. You could use it as an appointment list. You could use it as a memo, writing grocery lists, or any other information. It would also be very handy to have near you when you're on the telephone, because instead of trying to hold on to the telephone and get your pen and get your magnifier and all the things you might need, you could pull out your little recorder and then repeat what is being said and have your own audible method for retrieving information. Then if you want to write it down later, some of the information, you certainly could do that as well. As for other stores, there are shopper assistants in those stores too. It's helpful if you have some idea of what you're looking for and the price range that you want to spend. As you shop in stores and people get to know your preferences and you get to know the salespeople, you can build up quite a nice relationship many times. So that can be to your advantage. I have also gone in stores, maybe it's a boutique kind of a store, and I might ask the person there what they sell. And many times they're very willing to tell me, you know, basic things and so forth that they have, because what they're accustomed to is the general public kind of walks through the door, looks in for a few minutes, doesn't see anything they're particularly interested in, walks out. So they don't really have even an interaction with somebody. If I come into the store, I might say, it smells like cinnamon in here, or it smells like whatever. What do you have in here? And they're interested because now they have a person who's actually interested in something that they have for sale. Whether I buy anything or not, I may just want to know what types of items are available in that store. So I can do that too and create a relationship with the store owner in that way as well. I'm going to talk about Braille for a few minutes. Because in any other labeling that we do, you have whatever system you develop. If it isn't print and it isn't Braille, then you have to remember what your label stands for. So you're in a way creating your own system. If you're reading Braille or large print or print, then you are reading. And Braille is a system for reading for people who can no longer read print. And it's a tactile method for reading. So it really basically is six dots in two rows. I think of it like an egg carton that will hold six eggs. You have three eggs on one side and three on the other, or like a dominoes. And it's really a combination of feeling those dots and memorizing the combinations that make up Braille. But Braille can be used to label for reading and writing. You can write on envelopes. You can create, write on cards, whether index cards, plastic, or paper, and you can affix these written notes that you have to your files. You can tape them, paper clip them, staple them, whatever. There's another surface that you can use it's called Dymo tape. It is a plastic tape about a half inch wide and about 6 feet long, so you can cut it off to the length that you need. And you can label items with it. You can either leave the backing on and affix it by stapling it, or by making a hole punch in it to affix it to an item, or you can take the backing off and it's like a glue, so it'll stick onto surfaces for CDs or household appliances, things like that. There is also a Dymo tape which is magnetic. Not a strong magnet, but it could be used for canned goods or other metal surfaces if you want to label those. You can also, with a Dymo tape, label a credit card or debit card in some way so that you know which is which, and you may want to put some other information on the card. You do have to be mindful of where you put your label, because you want to not put it over the area where you would swipe it, because then you couldn't use the card. But in certain places you could mark your cards. There are also small notebooks that you can buy, or index cards. Usually you can buy them at a stationery store. The one I'm thinking of does not really have Braille paper, but it does have fairly thick pages if your material doesn't have to last a long time, or you could double the pages. It's about 4 by 6 inches. It has six rings, and it comes with a little pocket in the front. So it might be handy to keep track of information, appointments, calendar, maybe some phone numbers, bank information such as your expiration date, your PIN number or routing number, or any other information that you want to carry around and have with you, the transactions you make and the details of the transactions. Another useful thing would be an accordion file, and they come in different sizes. I recommend these because you can label different sections of the accordion file. Let's suppose you're going to different doctor's appointments. You may want to have one file or folder that you can carry with you so that you can look through, or have the doctors look through, to make sure that the medicines you're taking, one medicine you talk to one doctor and you go to another doctor and they want to know the medicines you're on, you might want to be able to have them look to make sure that the medicines are compatible, for example. Or you might want to keep all of your household warranties or guarantees or serial numbers, model numbers in a place like that. I do it for batteries as well. I never can remember what kind of battery something uses, so I write down the serial number and the number in the battery, because I just can't remember things like that. So I can keep track of when I need to buy certain batteries. Let's see. So these are things that Braille could be very handy for, to learn how to use it. If one is not using Braille, and many people are not, I want to say one other thing. There are also Braille, they're sheets, they're plastic sheets, and they're clear. So the nice thing is that if you have printed material, you could put them over the printed material, and you can cut them to any size you need and then peel off the backing and put it on whatever item you want to use. If you're not using Braille and you're many things do come in large print today. The National Federation of the Blind, for example, does have an independence market, and they do have a large print check registry. They have calendars, wall calendar. They have a planner, and they have a diabetic log, for example. And they do have some clocks that have very clock faces that have contrast between the face so people can see them more easily. And some of those clocks and timepieces do have calendars with them as well. If there's another way to also capture information, just to capture it, and that is, I mentioned digital recorders. There's another little device that's been developed over the past maybe 5 years, and many people use it. Sometimes they use it in conjunction with other labeling methods, and it's called a pen friend. And it looks like a large print pen, but it actually is a recorder. But when you record on a little sticker. And then that enables you to take the sticker and put it on the surface that you want. So, for example, you might use it to label information on your bank card. You might also put it on folders, file folders, tax forms for 2012, whatever you might have. Some people also take it and they buy plastic index cards and they use it for information they want to carry with them. So they might put their medical information on it. They might put their insurance policy number and the insurance number and other things like that. It doesn't take up much space, so it uses a lot less space than Braille. It's not as bulky, but it can be used to retrieve information. What you do is after you record on the sticker, then you can put the sticker on something, and then to read it, you just simply put the pen over the sticker and turn the button on, and it will play back what you've recorded. But you do have to record the information that you wish to capture. And they do have, people often use this also to label clothing. There are special stickers that will go into the wash. It is recommended that you apply the sticker to the clothing a week before you intend to wash the clothing, so it will have time to affix to the material. It's not recommended that you use dry cleaning. So items that you dry clean, the chemicals used in dry cleaning and the dry cleaner may take the sticker off, so that's not recommended. But you could maybe put it on something like, say, on a small plastic card that you put in the pocket of something and then that you dry clean and take it off the out of the pocket when you wish to dry clean the item. The ticket says that they will wash up to 50 washes, maybe more, I don't know, but that's what the ticket says it would hold up for. So that's a new device. People do use that. There are color identifiers, which there may be several, but I know of two of them. Again, the Independence Market sells two. One is called Colorino, and it costs approximately $179. And the other one is a Speech Color, and it's $135. I don't know the difference between them other than manufacturers, but they are there. There are also other labels that are available. You can buy packages of Braille labels that have Braille colors, and one that has Braille numbers. Some people label their clothing according to number. So that's another option. Let's see. There is another device for medicine. There are several on the market, different ways to identify medicine. One of them is it's called a ScribTalk. It's an audible medical reader. And what happens is when you order this device, Envision America is the company that makes them, they deal with certain pharmacies. So the pharmacist that they work with puts a special coded label on the bottom of the medicine so that when you place the medicine on the stand of this device, the ScribTalk, and turn it on, it will read you all of the information on your medicine label. So it will give you more information than just the name of the medicine. It may give you directions, dosage, and doctor's name, pharmacy, and refill number if necessary. Let's see what else I'm writing. Let me, now I'm going to open up for some questions because I think some of you may want to ask some questions about what we've talked about so far. And you also may want to go in different directions. One other thing I do want to mention that is available for people. The Bureau of Engraving does have, it is called a money re-identifier. It reads American dollars. And to qualify for it, if you are a patron and you use the Library for the Blind service, the Bureau of Engraving considers you eligible to receive this money identifier free. So many libraries for the blind, you can ask them for an application or put your name down and they'll send you an application. If you go directly to the Bureau of Engraving, which you can do, then they have a form that you have to fill out to state that you are legally blind and cannot read American currency. So if you wish to ask a question or comment, if you press *6 and say your name, I would be happy to entertain your questions. And if you've just joined us, please press *6 so that enables you to be in a mute mode and you'll be able to listen to the conversation. And if you wish to speak, press *6 once again. All right? Joanne?
Yes.
Okay, I heard Joanne first. Yes.
I use
Rami.
The labels,
okay,
that have the rubber bands on them. I got them
mm-hmm.
from the independent market.
Yes.
That I label
mm-hmm.
my frozen foods with,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but I also have the pen friend, and I was just wondering mm-hmm. if the pen friend dots, you can put those on, you know.
You can. Yes, you can. And that might be a good thing. So you might want to label, let's say, brownies. But then with the pen friend, you might want to write the directions for making the brownies.
Right.
Right. Or you might want to carry one of those with you, but have, and you can put more than one sticker on them. So you might want to use it, you know, in lots of different ways. But yes, you can. You can affix the sticker to that plastic label. Okay? And Rebecca, I heard you next.
Yes, Rebecca Bryan from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You spoke about the magnetic Dymo tape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how different is that from a regular Dymo tape?
Well, it's magnetic in that it doesn't have adhesive backing on it. It's just magnetic, but it will stick to metal things.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you want to affix it to something metal, let's say you want to label...
canned goods, maybe?
Yes, canned goods, or maybe you want to write the serial number of your stove somewhere, and you want to just stick it on your fridge or something. You know, you could
right.
do that, yes.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
okay.
It doesn't have sticky backing. It's just metal. But you can write Braille on it. You do have to punch hard.
Right.
And you have to have a good pair of scissors to cut it, but it will cut.
Oh, okay.
It comes in a roll, and the Independence Market sells it. I don't know the price. Let's see. Rami, did I hear you?
Yes, you did. Ruth,
yes.
Thank you. I actually live in Israel, but I'm visiting mm-hmm. the U.S. at the moment.
Yes.
I just wanted to say regarding shopping assistance,
mm-hmm.
One store, one chain that I have mm-hmm. found extraordinarily helpful is
mm-hmm.
Costco.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I've gone into Costco, they've assigned a person on their staff mm-hmm. to me, and they mm-hmm. they will spend as much time as you wish walking around with you and from aisle to aisle and telling mm-hmm. you what there is and so on and so
okay,
forth.
Good.
I found them very, very helpful. I also wanted to say regarding the labeling of products,
mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is not something that I do, but I'm visiting at the moment with Bob and Charlene Kraft in New York, and they have a tremendous number of products that they use, and they use the system with the putting the braille on a label and then tying the label around a jar
mm-hmm.
with a rubber band, and
mm-hmm.
they make a lot of use of that. Thank you very much.
Right. That is another way to label items, especially things you use over and over again. And some people use it to keep a grocery list. So when they have their the labels, then they from the labels they make the next grocery list. Okay, so that those are some other ways. Any other comments from people or questions?
Hoku from Hawaii.
Okay. I didn't hear the name. I'm sorry.
Hoku.
Hoku, okay.
Okay. I'm
glad you're from Hawaii. Good.
Yes. You know, you talked about labeling your debit cards or your bank cards.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm the Velcro princess. And what I do is on the bottom left-hand corner in the
mm-hmm.
back of the
mm-hmm.
card, with Velcro, there, you can get the adhesive Velcro. And
yes.
you have the
okay.
smooth and the rough side.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, I'll cut a piece, maybe a little strip,
mm-hmm.
you know, and put it in the corner of my debit card
mm-hmm.
on the left-hand side at the bottom. And then I'll, you know, get I'll label that vertically, but then on the Sears card, I'll lay it in the middle on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
with the smooth, you know, so you can use, for the charge card, you can use, you know, one type, the smooth type, and then for your bank card, you can use rough side. But you figure
you can.
Out, like, you can cut it, you know, in a triangle for one card. So when you just feel it, then, you know, you can differentiate.
Okay, so you've got two different things there, which is a good point. You've got two different surfaces, and you also can make different shapes. So that would
right.
be, yes. So you
yeah,
want something,
sure you
what you need to have
it,
whatever it is to be distinctive that you can feel it. There is another thing that I didn't mention, which they're called bump dots, or even stickers if you can feel them, different shapes and sizes, or different colors as well. But sometimes it's helpful to have both a tactile, a feelable way, and a visual way, too, if that's usable.
And, you know, in regards to shopping,
mm-hmm.
in stores.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're called courtesy clerks. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
they're called personal shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since the ADA law was established,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's to the retail outlet's benefit that they provide this. Because, you know, it's part of marketing, you know.
Yes.
And you are right. They do, you develop a bond, you know,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, when I go to the supermarket, you know, as
mm-hmm.
soon as they see me walking in the door, they say, okay, Auntie, we'll get somebody for you, you know. But
mm-hmm.
but it is very good because then the clerk that helps you, generally, they know what you're going to get, you know. So that's good, too.
It is, and they might even be able to say, I know you're interested in these items, and we have a new product in, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
When I went into a store that I would frequent, the lady at the bakery would say, ask for me, ask for me. I get tired of being here. And she was happy to do something different. So sometimes, yes, we can... You know, and sometimes we have to educate the shopper assisting us. They are new. They've never done what they're doing. And you find out that they don't know that there's expiration dates on certain products, you know. So we can educate people, too, and work with them on how to help us get the things and the information we want. Yes, certainly.
I just want to mention, when you receive good help, call in and give them a commendation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it really makes them feel helpful and, you know, it puts a smile on their face and they feel motivated.
Yes.
You know? So make that you put in a good word for them. Speak to their supervisor or, you know, customer service or whatever. Give them a, you know, something to talk about that's positive so that. You know,
it's good PR on our part, right, to write a letter or call their supervisor and say what good service that you received from so-and-so. And if you know their name, that's helpful, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, that always is helpful and good. And they appreciate it, too.
Yes.
Okay,
they
does someone else?
Best foot forward.
Okay. Is anyone else seeking to speak here? I don't want to miss anybody.
Hello? Linda.
Say your name, please.
This is Linda. Barbara from Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, Barbara, and was there another voice?
Linda.
Linda, okay, let's take Barbara first, then we'll take Linda, okay?
Fine.
Okay, I was interested in the friend pen. How do I go about acquiring that?
Acquiring what, I'm sorry?
The friend pen.
The pen friend, yes. That's okay. The pen friend. The Independence Market does sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Probably other aids and appliances, wherever you buy other aids and appliances, may have them for visually impaired people as well, like Maxi Aids or Independent Living. They're about $140, I'm estimating, okay?
Okay.
So that's about how much they cost. And what I didn't mention was the stickers, you get quite a few of them. You can record over the sticker. So let's say you are recording information about medicine and you put it on the top of your medicine bottle and then the doctor changes something. You can re-record over that label and several times. And you get several stickers. I mean, I don't know, maybe you get 200 when you buy it. And you can buy more additional ones if you use those up and have them on things. The clothing stickers are different. You would have to ask for clothing stickers if you want to put those on clothing. So the first stickers that come with it are not made for clothing. They just invented those about a year ago. So if that's what you're interested in, you do have to specify that's what you want. Okay?
Okay.
But the Independence Market at the National Federation of the Blind, and that number is 410-659-9314. And then they'll tell you the menu choice for Independence Market Push, and they'll tell you what to do. Or you can go online.
Again?
Pardon me?
Would you repeat that number again?
Yes. 410-659-9314.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Linda.
Hi. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
My question or comment as well as has to do with the pen friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I have dots and stickers all over my house.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's not just for shopping lists, but anything that I have labeled, like I have some recipes and that type of thing, whole recipe book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of information on the pen friend. How often do you recommend that we back that up? Because I backed up the files on my computer.
That's
and
a good,
because I
yeah.
don't want to just lose all of that because it's a lot of, you know, somebody else reporting.
I don't know. You might have to ask the manufacturer or some. I don't know. I mean, I know the pen friend will last quite a while, you know, when the batteries you to change. But I don't know how long the stickers. It might say somewhere in the literature when you buy it. I mean, like the clothing, I could say that they recommend 50 times washing, and after that, they may work and maybe not. But for other material, how long it will keep, I would think indefinitely if, you know, if it's not subject to hot and cold and other changes, you know. I mean, if they're in your home, they're pretty constant. I think what can change some things are too extreme heat or extreme cold or other, you know, water being spilled on something, then that might change the equation drastically.
Right.
But otherwise it should be, yeah.
I think more my question was about backing it up on your computer because that's something that really should be done if you're using it for a lot of different
items. You might want to do that.
So much information, right?
Information.
My question was on how often you would recommend to back it up because I noticed when I backed it up into the files, they don't come through, you know, saying, like, just say you had chocolate chip cookies for a recipe. It comes up with a stickers number as that file.
Okay. What might be more practical in some ways is to use some thumb drives because that way you can sort of specify, like, recipes and, you know, other household things maybe. Yeah. I don't know how often, though. I think it would depend upon your comfort zone, really, and how much you use it and, you know, a lot of things. Good question, though. I don't know.
That's okay. And also, in regards to, I know that the stickers are specific to your pen friend when you get them.
Yes.
How does that?
You would talk to Ellen at the Independence Market because she would know. There are A, B, and C stickers, and I don't know the difference between them. I know A, I think, is first, and B is the next batch, and C is, that's how they go down. But I don't know how they're different from one another. I didn't get into specifics with her about that.
That's okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay.
I just wanted to...
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me talk just for a few minutes, too, about reading because that's another issue. There are different ways to read printed material. The old-fashioned way, and sometimes the most effective, efficient, useful way, is to have a sighted reader, especially if they're doing more than one thing, such as reading, sorting, and writing. Sometimes you need someone to fill out a form because the space that's available is very small, or it's not very clear, or it's not accessible via computer. So handwriting sometimes...
I'm trying to... get in. I keep going from muted to unmuted. Am I in the right?
You are unmuted at the moment. If you press star
so
six, you will be
me?
Muted. I can now. Yes. We're talking. Yes.
Right.
And if you press star six, well, in just a second. Okay.
Well, I was before the last three, Linda and Barbara, but I will have time to ask
all right.
a couple of questions.
Okay. Okay.
Now or after?
Well, why don't you do it now then?
Okay.
Why don't you say your
I
name?
I want to ask you on the Joy Thomas.
Okay,
the
Joy.
Magnetic tape, can that go through a Braille typing machine?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think you can. It's hard. You can use it on a slate, but I don't think you can use it on the Braille writer.
Okay.
Unless you affix it to something. If you can affix it to something, then you could put the paper in the Braille writer and maybe use it, but I don't quite know how you'd affix it to the paper.
And the other thing is when I had the pen friend, although mine broke, I found I couldn't type over it. Are other people finding that they can? Because this was an older one. Can you type over the label and use it?
You should be able to record over the label, yes. Now, if the label got damaged somehow, and some might, if they got slightly creased or, again, if it got a little torn or if it, you know, something happened to it, you may not be able to use that label over again, that sticker.
All right, thank you.
So for recording, for reading, sometimes using a sighted person to assist you is the most efficient way to do it, depending upon what you have, what your needs are. Sometimes you can pay that person, and that's a good way to do it. Sometimes you can get volunteers. It depends on how complex your material is and what your interests are and how you want to go about organizing your printed material. There are some other ways for reading. Certainly the computer has opened up many avenues for us. Using a scanner and a computer is another way to be able to read a lot of material. There are some devices for those folks who don't have computers but who do want to read printed material, and they are called stand-alone reading apparatus, and they're different kinds at different prices, doing different things. The International Braille and Technology Center at the National Federation of the Blind might be a good place to check those different devices out as far as what they can do and cost. They vary. There are also one of the devices that we have had for some time is the KNFB reader. And now those people who use iPhones and those people who have, I think it's also for phones, what's the other type of phone, the Android phones. There are many applications that can be used, and right now the KNFB reader can be used in conjunction with an iPhone. So if someone has an iPhone and wants to talk a few minutes about applications, maybe Robert, you could share a few things with folks on different ways that reading could be done. Okay, Robert's not there. I don't use an iPhone myself, so I can't be as informative as some of you might be who do use iPhones. Go ahead, Robert. Okay. That's okay.
All right, very good. So, yeah, I use high-tech things sometimes, but I use an awful lot of real low-tech type things most of the time for, like, labeling and cans and that kind of stuff. So, at the same time, if I get a new item from the store that either I brought home or my wife does, I do have an application on my iPhone that will read barcodes. So that can be very handy because you just got to be able to find the barcode, and that can be a puzzle until you kind of get used to where to look on different types of cans or bottles. So a barcode reader can be handy. Then I do have the KNFB reader application for my iPhone, and it does work very well for reading the mail. If it has to be, again, it has to be something that's been created with a printer, it doesn't do handwriting type stuff, is what I'm saying. So it works pretty well, but it has to be pretty well flat. And, of course, there are some other apps that some people use. One that I kind of like, because I'm totally blind, I cannot see light, is sometimes if I want to, especially if I go to a hotel, a place where I'm not familiar with how the lighting system works, because you might go around and think all the lights are off, but then you kind of wonder. I have a light detector app for my phone. So it has a little hum, and if it stays at a low pitch type of hum, then I can tell that there are no lights on. But as soon as I come into where there is a light source, the pitch gets higher. You can even tell, like, if the window, the drapes are not all completely closed, because it'll detect that extra light coming through it.
Mm-hmm.
That can be kind of handy. All right, so, but you just got to have a mix of tools. And like I say, sometimes high-tech stuff works well, and some of us are kind of techy. So, again, you've got to be kind of techy to use these new phones and these new apps. But if you're not, it would be worth at least trying, because most of these are not as difficult as you might think. So we generally are smarter than we really kind of think. So anyway, you got to find something that works for you, because there's a million ways to do it.
That's right. And sometimes they can be as simple as putting a rubber band around something.
Yeah.
And that might work. Or a twist ties. Or it doesn't have to be a high-tech solution.
Yeah. In fact, I know of one person that has diabetes, so their sensitivity in their fingers aren't as good as they used to be. So what works for her is, like, for her canned goods, she herself cut out cardboard letters. She would cut out a G and a B and would punch a little hole through it and then put string through and then put that on a rubber band. So the GB was for green beans. She could feel the cardboard letters. They were as tall as the can. That just kind of worked best for her. So there's otherwise, it's just, you know, creating letters and writing. I've known someone else that used some of this puff paint.
And yes.
They take an index card and put big letters on the card to represent whatever, you know, that they wish to label. So that could be another tactual way. But you're right, Ruth. It just takes some common sense for the most part.
And not being afraid to think up what would work for you, because it doesn't have to work for anybody else. It just has to be yours. I also found that sometimes I take and buy plastic, little plastic containers that I can open up and put small items in those because they're not quite as tall and they're big enough to get your fingers in and actually pick up the little things that might be that you want in them, whether it's beads or whether it's safety pins or whether it's pills or whatever. You don't have to leave it in the container you got it in. You can find another container sometimes and put it in and also label that in some way. Also, Target. One of the seniors that I knew had a reading had a closed circuit reading machine that she could use, but it didn't read cylindrical surfaces. So she said to the person at Target, "Why can't we have other shaped medicine bottles?" And he said, "You can." And you can get ones that are sort of oblong or square. And that way she could print, have the printed label and read it using her her magnifying machine, which was the closed circuit TV. So then it was a flat surface and she could put the label on and read it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's also asking a pharmacy for information or a store, how, you know, could you do this? And often they can. Didn't think about it. So you as a consumer can think of ideas that if they help you, they might be helpful to other people as well. They just change the shape of the container and people could read more clearly using magnification. So if that works, that was a good solution. Same thing with contrast. You might want to make some contrasts of your own, whether you put a different colored felt on something or some other type of material, but sometimes you can glue that on and, again, have a feelable and a different color contrast that could be useful for the situation that you find yourself wanting to deal with. Does anyone have any other questions or comments or ideas or ways that you use different methods?
Linda,
for labeling.
Number 2 has a question.
Yes.
What
Go ahead.
Is the barcode app that the young man uses?
You had to ask me that because I'm kind of thinking what the little icon says. You had to ask me that. Let me ponder that while maybe someone else has another question, and I'll figure this out. Because if I can't find it right now, I could. If you use the computer, I could send it out to our senior listserv with the name of the application.
Thank you.
And to let people know, we are recording this call, so it will be accessible after. We conclude here, and our hope is that then if you found some of it interesting and useful, you can share it with your fellow colleagues, whether seniors or not. There are two ways to use it. One is on the computer. We do have an NFB senior webpage, and the other way is that we will put on our listserv the callback number so that you could call in and after you press your put in the access code, it's called a call playback number, and you would be able to press that number. No, excuse me, I'm telling you wrong. You first do the playback number, then the access code, and then you'll be able to listen to the recorded call on your telephone. So those are two ways to access this information. We here at Blind Industries and Services in Maryland, where I work, have used some barcode readers that read just barcodes. I have to say what we have, and I don't know the brand, but it wasn't very successful. It didn't last very long before we had significant issues with it, and it was not inexpensive. So we were not too too pleased with it. The voice became very muffled and not very clear, and it didn't last too long. So I would recommend, if you're thinking of an appliance that you might not be uncertain about, again, the International Braille and Technology Center at the National Federation of the Blind does a lot of testing of a lot of different equipment, and they're not there to sell it, but to tell us, the consumers, what it can do and maybe what it cannot do and things like that. So that might be a good source to check out before you purchase something that it can be very costly.
Robert, I did recall the manufacturer of the company that makes this, it's Digi Eyes. It's like Digit Eyes. But I could, again, I can put it on the list there if I can spell it out. Because right now I really, as I'm saying it, I'm saying to myself, have I ever seen how this thing is spelled? Maybe not. But it's like Digi Eyes. Mm-hmm. But I can put it on an email out to our list.
Joanne, and I think the QR reader is the other one for the iPhone.
It could be. Yes, it could be.
Yeah,
the QR reader. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that we often do, especially if we're going to a hotel or something like that, is sometimes we get either Velcro in little dots forms, or we get, they're called bump dots, and they're small little dots of different shapes and sizes. And I stick that on my hotel key to know which end, if there's no other way to tell, so I can stick it in the door slot in the correct way that I need to hold it. So a lot of little things like that can be helpful that you can carry with you. Or a piece of tape would work, too, if that's what you had. But sometimes it's handy to have a little kit of things so that when you run into situations, you have a solution that you can employ and use. Okay. Are there any other comments or questions that folks would like to share with everyone?
I have a suggestion. This is Dave.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
It hasn't really been mentioned much, but using the computer
where
you're typing, say, in Word, in like 48 point, I've typed up labels on just plain white paper, and in like 48 or 52 point, for me, it works. And then I actually tape that, cut it out, and tape it to the top of a file folder. So, I mean, it covers the whole width of the file folder, but they're large that you can then see what the file is.
Okay, so that's another way to do that. Yeah, no, computer too. I should think of more technical things too. I'm assuming sometimes folks are looking for others, but the computer can do a lot of things, so we should use it as many ways as we can. We paid for it, so I might as well make it as useful and productive as you can. And do you do that sometimes with contrast? Then you get contrasting colored folders?
I just go black and white. I
black
don't color-code
yeah,
it,
yeah.
But I
okay.
could, I suppose, print things in color, but I just black and white for the maximum contrast.
Okay.
One thing that's very helpful also is using my closed-circuit camera. When I use a phone book, numbers are hard to find in a phone book, but once I use a number, I will write it down in Excel and then print it up in like 52 points or something like that, printing it sideways. And then I have my own large print phone book, and that works very nicely too. So just another suggestion I find very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, those are good suggestions. See, the more we think of, there are lots of creative ways to use. And again, using several things. Usually one method or two might not work, but the more ideas we have and the more ways of doing things, so we have a backup too. If one system doesn't work, or it may work for some things, but not for other things, then we can find another way. I thought I was hearing someone with their phone there. Is there another comment or question?
Yes.
Yes.
My name is Charlene Kraft. I just came on, so
yes.
I may
okay.
be saying things that you have heard. But did you talk about clothing labels?
We did, but not too much. So if you want to talk about them, go ahead. I mentioned them.
And the other thing is, when I travel, I don't go anywhere without rubber bands, paper clips, scotch tape, those three things, because I can use, and Ziplocs, and I can use all of those for various kinds of labeling. You know, sometimes you can put one rubber band on something one way and one the other way, and you'll know what that does. And sometimes I do the same thing with a variety of paper clips and scotch tape. The other thing you can do is leave the top off of some things that won't spill to differentiate it from something else in your medicine cabinet. So I just use those things because they're small, and some I also have an iPhone, but sometimes when you travel, you want something very easy. So you can put a rubber band on a doorknob.
Right.
You can put a piece of tape on a doorknob. You know, I something like that. Clothing labels you can get from a variety of agencies. I think Independent Living Aids in New York, and also Maxi-Aids, and I don't know if the Federation sells them. But,
they do.
Okay, and so there are a number of places that you can get them, and they you put them, you sew them on your clothes, and if you're not a sewer, you pin them on your
right.
clothes, and and depending on how you pin it, you could also use them to set up some kind of code so that, you know, if something is patterned or striped or something, so that if you turn the label one way, it may mean one thing, and if you turn it the other way, it may mean something else. And I'm sorry if I said too much, but...
No, no, that's great. And I think Ellen also mentioned to me, which I didn't know, but you might, there are different kinds of labels, color labels. One goes by color. One, some go by color and have a bigger variety, and others have fewer colors but more of that same color, like brown or black. And a third is by number. Some people like to label by number rather than color because they're interested in the coordinating. So they put 1, 11, 21, or however they do it to know that those things go together. So
there
people
are some
have different
pins.
Ways of doing it, yes.
There are some pins, and I forget, I think Independent Living Aids has them, and they come in a box, and they're pins. They look almost like diaper pins, and on one side has one dot, and some of them have two, and some of them have three, and they're also color-coded, but I can't see that. But they're good. We have more than one type of sheet in our house, and so we put the one dot for single sheets, and the two dots for double sheets, and and the three for queen. So that's another type of labeling that
it is.
You can do.
That would be a good use for that. Yes, it would. And a good suggestion. Okay. Any other suggestions if people have questions or comments? No, we've answered everybody's question. Are there? Well, I hope we've given some people some ideas and some ways to be creative, to think of what will work for you. Our next call is going to be May 13th, which is Wednesday, and the topic is going to be hobbies and recreation and being involved in things that people used to do sometimes and maybe have stopped doing and would like to continue to do. So I hope that call will be of interest to you. It uses we use the same numbers that you used for this call and all the other calls. So that would be 712-432-1500 with 759633 being the access code. Are there any other final comments and questions before we depart from anyone, from anywhere?
Hello, Ruth?
Yes.
Hi, this is Janice. I was late getting on the call. I apologize.
Uh-huh.
I do have a question about checks,
personal
checks, writing them.
Mm-hmm.
I've met someone that had some checks that have raised lines.
They do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't able to tell me where they purchased them for.
Most banks, if you ask your bank, they can get them. They can get them for you through the bank.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. They should be able to.
Oh.
Now, they might charge you for them. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't know what that would be, but they would be able to, but you can feel them. The other thing is, and that brings up a point, there is also a check template. I mentioned the full page template, but there are two other templates and a signature guide that are available. And the National Federation of the Blind does sell those. One is for writing checks, and that would be a normal check, but you would paper clip it to the template to the check, and then it has the grid, so you have the lines that you can feel where you write. It keeps you straight on writing your lines. And the other is an envelope, addressing envelope, so that it has two different sections, one for the address you're mailing to and one for your return address, so that can be used. And then there is the signature guide. So those are ways for writing checks. The large print checks, the banks have those, and they do have some that you can feel, you really can feel the lines for writing checks, yes. And any major bank should get them. I suppose if you belong to a very small neighborhood bank, then I would call the independence market then and see what they would recommend at that point. But most national banks can get those checks. And by the way, banks can give you information too. I didn't allude this, but banks can give you information like your statements in a format that's useful to you. They can give you large print or an extra large print, or they can give you Braille statements if that's what you want, but you do have to ask for that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask for those accommodations.
I'm actually using the template that you taught me at the retreat, the civil retreat a couple of years ago, but the one for the check, for some reason I cannot find one that has a little cutout for the dollar amount, you know, the numbers.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just this one straight line where you put it in, but it's no separation.
Mm.
So,
well, Independence Market might have another one too. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. I'll check
it. Might.
Thank you.
This is
This is Brenda from Alabama.
The lady from Alabama, I'm not hearing your name.
Brenda,
okay, yes.
Brenda,
sorry, Brenda.
Yeah, that's fine. On those checks, you could also, my bank also, you could get a CD, your statement on a CD also.
Yes, good, right. There are other formats. Yes, that's important that you can get them. And certainly we should be asking. And I think there was someone else who had it. I thought I heard some other.
Hoku from Honolulu.
Yes.
In regards to that check, ask the bank if the check writing company, it was at my bank, it was called Sightline Checks. And they had to raise lines. But I don't recall who the check writing company was that printed out the check. And as far as your statements, now banks are required by law to send out a statement, whatever format is best for you. But like I get from Verizon, I get my statement on a CD. You know, so financial institutions are required by, I guess it's a federal law, that they need to send you some kind of a statement. So, you know, I try to tell them, just go paperless, because we don't have to cut down so many trees and all that.
There is also a program, too, called Talking Checkbook, which is you use your computer and you can it's a checkbook and it's a registry and everything, and it's a complete program, and it does talk, and sometimes we demonstrate that here. It's about $60, so it's not overly expensive, but you have to you have to have computer and computer skills to use it. But that would be another way to, and you can print checks with it. You get special paper and you can print checks with it. So that's another way.
Charlene Kraft.
Okay. Charlene.
One other thing. I don't know if people know this, but Walgreens and Duane Reade have a talking bottle cap for prescriptions, and it's free. I went through some trouble to get my particular Walgreens to get it, but it is available. I actually called the corporate office, and it's I could play it for you, but I don't know if you hear it. Anyway, it is a cap, and it goes over the cap on your pills, and it has two buttons. One of them is an alarm to tell you, you know, when to take it, and the other one gives you the name of the drug, the doctor, the dosage, and the RX number. And the pharmacist makes the recording, but actually other people could make it too. It has the capacity that you can erase it and do it. And as I CVS is supposed to have something, but I don't have firsthand knowledge of that. But I do know that that Walgreens and which is Duane Reade, which is now Walgreens, has it. And I don't know if that would be useful to people, but I have 7 or 8 pills, and so I use them.
Okay, so that's what we do talk about, Script Talk, too, which is another Audible reader. But that's something to look into, Audible medical Audible readers to label medicine. So that's a good thing to have. Thank
Linda
you very
number
much.
Two.
Say that your name again.
Linda, number two.
Yes, go ahead, Brenda, number two.
With a raised line check, my bank calls them vision checks.
Mm-hmm. They're called different things by different banks, right, but that's what they are. Uh-huh. They could be inside or vision or large print or, you know, they can be called different things. Now, I won't guarantee that you can feel the lines in all of them, but the ones I've seen, I could. So different, I think different people could do different things with that. I don't know the companies that make them, but that's something you might even ask your bank, too, and then you'd know if you could actually feel the lines in the check. Okay. Any other comments here? Well, I want to thank all of you for joining, all of you who shared, all of you who gave good ideas, who asked questions, and those of you who listened. I hope that this call was helpful in some way to you, and we will continue to have them. They seem to be helpful to many people. Our next call, again, will be Wednesday, May 13th, and it will be on hobbies and on recreation. And the next call will be June 10th, and that will be on recreational activities, dining out, going to museums, and things like that. So I hope that you will be able to join us on those calls as well and tell your friends or other people that you know about these calls, and especially if you think it would be helpful for some folks who are new to vision loss or are... So thank you very much. I appreciate everyone being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And have
very
a good
much.
Evening.
Appreciate it.
I don't know what that beep what is, that but beep thank is. You either. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank bye. You. Thank you, Ruth.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. The callback number. The replay number.